armchair.
Well, the Chiefs are going to Super Bowl 58.
5 + 8 = 13.
What?
13 is Taylor's favorite number. She is doing all of this.
Yeah, well, she has been to a lot of games. Says she's been to 12 so far.
Super Bowl will be number 13.
Yeah, and on the other side, a crazy comeback by the 49ers.
49. 4 + 9 = 13.
Right. Anyway, the Niners are a good team. They're a 1 seed.
What are the Chiefs?
A 3 seed.
1 seed. 3 seed. 13.
Okay, but isn't she going to be in Japan for the Super Bowl on like February 11th?
2/11.
Well, that's the
day. 2 + 11 = 13.
Okay, but she can't possibly get there in time for the game.
A nonstop flight from Tokyo to Vegas.
Oh, I think I know where this is going.
13 hours.
Okay, fine. I guess she could make it, but it's not 100%.
100.
Oh, boy.
100 minus 13 is 87, which is Taylor's boyfriend's jersey number.
You're really stretching it here.
She is a mastermind.
Well, it's your week. Root against or root for Travis Kelce and, of course, Taylor Swift. They are expecting her to show up at the ball game. There is a concert, I believe, in, if I heard it correctly, it's in Tokyo. I do know it's in Japan. And anyways, they've figured out that they'll have enough time to fly over to the stadium after the show. What led into our show was something that we put together, and it's called Lineup for Braves Country. Hope you enjoyed it. If you missed it, for folks who probably aren't very familiar with it, I am a bit of a writer. I do write a little bit, and that's something that I put together. I got a lot of other stuff that I'm putting together for this season. Okay, we are at Super Bowl week, and of course, you know what that means. That means that all of this stuff, with the Swifty stuff, everyone's going to complain about it at your Super Bowl party, or are they? I've seen show after show this week, radio, podcast, you name it, and the consensus has been everybody digging in, saying, get over it. It's not a big deal that they're covering Taylor Swift. Get over it. They're not doing that much coverage. It's like showing her during a touchdown, 4 seconds here, 3 seconds there, right? And what they came out and averaged out is it's around 23 to 25 seconds per broadcast that you see her. My take is this. I haven't heard anybody realistically make that big a deal about it. So I am in the belief that the knuckleheads on all the networks, I'm not picking one in particularly, on all the networks, on all the podcasts, on everything, they want, it's almost a little bit of virtue signaling. They want to pat themselves on the back and say, hey, Swift fans should be included, so everyone will sit back and say, oh, look at you, you're such a great person. And I'm all for having the Swift fans watching football. Who cares? But I contend the whole thing is made up. That the entire, yeah, I'm sure there's a couple of knuckleheads here and there. There always are. And I've seen a few comments on social media. But it's not overwhelming. And I've seen far more comments on other things that nobody addresses, and yet they're digging in, they're leaning in to the Swift thing, and I guess they think it's going to help ratings, so they make it a part of one of their segments. So I guess that's one angle. But I honestly think it really feels like, more than anything else, a bit of virtue signaling where they want to say, look, it's great, let the Swift fans be involved in the Super Bowl. Who the hell said they couldn't? You're going to have to show me where, and I'm not talking about one lone nut on social media whose handle is user 457392, right? With no profile picture and 2 followers. I'm not talking about a bot. I'm talking about, you're going to have to show me someone, and it probably wouldn't be bad for their, honestly, for their status, if you're talking about someone who might have a struggling show on FS1 or ESPN or whatnot, to dig in and say, no, I don't want her involved, just because it'll probably will get you clicks. But I have yet to see that one person, because I don't think anybody wants to be associated with that. And if you do associate yourself with that, you're kind of burning down your entire show. You're going all in on a really stupid bet. And the bet would be is that everybody would love your take and you would be catapulted to the top. I don't think that would be the case. I think most people would roll their eyes and go, whatever, dude, change the channel. And there would be that very small percentage who would think it's a huge deal. And then they would stitch it and come back and respond to you. But anyways, I just wanted to talk about that because I feel like the whole thing feels made up. We're hosting a Super Bowl party. I seriously doubt. I mean, there might be one knucklehead at the party who's going to say, oh, man, I can't stand all the Taylor Swift talk. But I doubt that that's going to be a big part of the broadcast. It's always the game. And then obviously the commercials. That's what people come to the Super Bowl for. They're not coming for the performances. The only way she becomes a big part of the conversation is if she steps out on that stage at halftime and surprises everybody and sings a song with Usher. Other than that, nobody gives a crap about Usher singing halftime. I can tell you, I can guarantee you that. The people who are big Usher fans are probably going to get offended and mad and sad or whatever. But the simple fact of the matter is he hasn't been what you would consider big time in years. So he's like a lot of the Super Bowl bands and artists. They're at their end of their road, and it's almost like a victor of, you know, or almost like a farewell tour. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into some of these prop bets on Super Bowl week. And the line, it is moving. Pitchers and catchers don't report until Wednesday. Braves pitchers and catchers report for the guys and gals out there who tend to forget that is Valentine's Day. And so if you hear pitchers and catchers report, that's your cue to, you better remember that it's Valentine's Day, right? Or I guess vice versa. If you're more into Valentine's Day, then you'll remember that it's pitchers and catchers report. But anyways, you won't even get spring training games for another, 10 days after that? Saturday, September 24th, the Atlanta Braves will play Tampa Bay. That is a Saturday at 1:05 first pitch. A couple of days before that, San Diego and the Dodgers are starting their spring training early because they begin the season in Seoul, Korea, a week before opening day in Major League Baseball. Those games will count in Seoul, Korea. So they're letting them get kind of a head start, and they'll end up leaving the spring training facilities to get ready for the season. I believe what they've decided to do is they'll take their 26-man roster on, but if the Dodgers and Padres decide that they need more work, they will allow the rest of the rosters to stick around in spring training. But it's really going to be up to them. Usually by the time you get to that point, especially because they're reporting a few days earlier, you're going to be, all right, let's go. Let's just get ready. Let's get stretched out and let's rest. And because once again, they're trying to mirror the minor league baseball season to the Major League Baseball season a little better these days. It was always dumbfounding the way they used to do it. But anyways, with that being said, you don't want to wear these guys out if you don't have to. But the Braves will play on Saturday. As of right now, there's only been one game that's been announced that's going to be on TV for the Atlanta Braves in the early going. Now, the Atlanta Braves announced their TV deal, their TV broadcast games, and they don't begin until March 20th. It's a week before the season. And they're going to have like 3 or 4 games, and then they're going to get going. Really disappointing, by the way. Extremely disappointing, because when you look at that, and you just realize when you see that as good as the Braves organization is, as great as it's ran, they're not on the same level of the teams up in the Northeast. And for that matter, teams like the Dodgers. Because you look at their broadcast schedules. I mean, the Phillies, compared to our three to four, they haven't put it in stone, but between the 3 and 4 broadcast games that they're going to do with the Braves starting March 20th, and then obviously a week later you got opening day, so you can't squeeze too much in. Comparatively, the Phillies are doing 14 games, and there's a 15th one that's going to be broadcast as well on a different outlet, but their personal games are 14. That's a big damn difference. You're talking about just about every other day you've got a Philly game on if you're a Phillies fan. and it's really much more enjoyable. But we are waiting for the rest of the schedule to get leaked. And when it does, we will give you our broadcast schedule because we will bring you any game that the Braves are on TV for. The plan is to bring you those games. But right now, the only one, like I said, is Wednesday, February 28th, 105 first pitch, and we will have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves right here on Braves Country Radio. To that point, this spring, this summer, going into the fall, we are going to be giving you on Braves Country every day the condensed version of the game from the day before. So in case you missed it and you just want to know what's going on, we will also have the post-game show in there as well. So the post-game show is going to come on around 4 o'clock from 4 to 5. From 3 to 4, we're going to be doing the replay from the day before. And I would rather do that than to give you a bunch of recorded stuff. So that's what we're going to do, because we've got a lot more irons in the fire this spring and this summer. We want to make sure that we're bringing you everything. And we are going to continue to do the football Fridays and stuff like that. But in general, we're going to bring you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves the following day on replay here on radio, here on WQEE. And then the postgame show will follow. And the postgame show, we're having a call-in show. And, of course, you can catch all this live on Braves Country Radio on YouTube every single night. So there you have that. On the day games, WQEE will carry the games live. So there you have that. Okay, let's go ahead and get into... I mean, I want to double-check one more time, see if anything... No, still nothing. I was hoping we would have gotten maybe something. I'm on the site every day checking to see if any more Braves games have been leaked. And they've never waited this long. And now that I know that we're not, that they're not going to, they, first of all, the Braves have never waited till the last week of the season in spring training to bring you the games. I think some of this has to do with the poverty company that is Bally Sports at this point, and they're on their way out, thankfully. So I think they're cutting corners across the board. But it's really, really strange that more of the other teams, I mean, we're not getting anything. I only knew to get, if you go on the desktop right now, it doesn't show you what I can see. There's a backdoor view to it that I can see the games when they're posted. But it's crazy. Anyways, let's get into the Super Bowl. Obviously, 6:30. Kickoff should be a fun one. Should be one that, look, I honest engine, I think that this is going to be a very closely contested game. It is a very difficult game to try to handicap as far as who the winner is, because really what it comes down to, so I feel like a lot of these Super Bowls, including last year, most of us that do this can give you a pretty good indication of who's going to win the game. Covering the spread may be a little more difficult, but who's going to win the game? This is not one of those years. In fact, it kind of reminds me of back in 2019 when the two met, a lot more unknowns at that point. But these two teams met, and if you remember, San Francisco dominated that game and then fell apart in the fourth quarter, much like Shanahan's offense. I'm not going to put it all on Shanahan because Quinn was involved too, but much like the Falcons did, not to the extreme, 10-point lead and a 28-3 lead are two totally different things. But it's very, very similar in the fact that the team that you thought was going to win all game long didn't end up winning. So you go into this game and you look at all... Look, if you go top to bottom and we put up... I'm just talking about the basic things. I'm not going to do a deep dive on everything. We're going to do more of that on the Super Bowl show, which will be Saturday on Braves Country Radio, 10 a.m. We'll be live with the guys. Our last show for the season, and then we'll talk more about it on Saturday, what the schedule will look like. But you're looking at, if you put the quarterbacks head-to-head, obviously Patrick Mahomes gets the nod. If you put the receiving cores head-to-head, and I'm going to throw the tight ends in there with it, just the whole nine yards, I'm going to give a slight edge to San Francisco, But it's not as big of an edge as a lot of folks might think. Because Travis Kelce has been so damn good recently, and because Rashee Rice has the ability to make the plays that he's got, and if the Kansas City receivers will hold on to the damn ball, they can make some plays. But San Francisco, I mean, you've got a healthy Debo. You've got Brandon Ayuk. Kittle still has something in the tank. And then in the passing game, don't forget about CMC, Christian McCaffrey. As far as the line play, let's just take it to this. Let's say who's got the advantage when San Francisco has the ball versus the Kansas City entire defense. So we're talking about line play. We're talking about everything. I think it's about a stalemate because Kansas City has had the better defense in these playoffs. They just have. One of the problems is San Francisco has not gotten off to a hot start in either one of these games. And what their bread and butter has been is to get out to the early lead and not only be able to feed Christian McCaffrey left and right, but then the other thing, the obvious thing is they've got the best pass rush. Probably they've got one of the better pass rushes we've seen in a long time. But their run defense is very average at best. So the key to this entire game is going to be game script. And I know that's easy to say, but this game, more than anything else, I've believed it. Last year, I told y'all I thought Kansas City would win the Super Bowl. I felt like Patrick Mahomes, when it was all said and done, he was a better quarterback. Jalen Hurts played better than I thought he would, and that game was much closer. But in the end, it was Patrick Mahomes making plays and Hurts and company not making plays. We're kind of faced with the same thing this year, and people don't want to hear it, but we're starting to trend towards Tom Brady territory. Because if Patrick Mahomes goes out and gets that third Super Bowl, if he plays for a long time, he's trending to catch Tom Brady. Remember, Tom Brady got the three Super Bowls early in his career, but then there was a long drought. And then he racked up three more, and then he got the fourth one, or the seventh one total, in Tampa. Now, who knows what happens when Andy Reid retires? Does Andy Reid retire after this game? There's been some rumors. I don't think so. It hasn't felt like that he's ready to give up and pack it in. But the only person that would know that is Andy Reid. I don't think he's going to tip his hand. So past that, let's say Patrick Mahomes gets another Super Bowl. And let's say Andy Reid does not retire. And let's say he coaches another few years. And in the next few years, Patrick Mahomes gets his fourth. And let's just assume that whoever replaces Andy Reid doesn't suck. And they figure out how to win and win consistently and keeps the Chiefs, keeps Patrick Mahomes, assuming he stays with the Chiefs his whole career. You keep him going and you get him in the playoffs and all he needs is a ticket punched. See, for folks who aren't old enough to remember Joe Montana and the 49ers, and the greatness that he was, and the four Super Bowls that he won. Remember something with the 49ers. In the years that they didn't, they were very Jekyll and Hyde. They would win a Super Bowl, and then the next year, they'd be awful. They'd either miss the playoffs, or they would stumble in. You didn't get that with Tom Brady. He was normally punching his ticket, and all he had to do is find a way to get in there. And it really is miraculous. It's more miraculous to me that Tom Brady only won seven. Because it felt like every year he had a puncher's chance of winning it. And if you give Patrick Mahomes a puncher's chance of winning it, you say you put him in the playoffs, you say you put him in the division as a division champion most of the time, maybe a few times he's a wild card, but most of the time. Because remember, that was the key to Tom Brady's success and Bill Belichick's success. They weren't just getting in the playoffs, they were winning the divisions and they were getting the bye back when two teams got a bye. But more importantly, they were playing home games. If he gets the Super Bowl and Reed sticks around the next few years and they get a fourth one and then hangs it up, you're trying to tell me that Patrick Mahomes can't figure out three more Super Bowl wins over his... Now, the one thing that you can't factor in is A, injuries, and B, the obvious thing would be, does the rest of the league catch up and do more quarterbacks come around that can do the kind of things that Patrick Mahomes can do? That really wasn't what you were dealing with Tom Brady. With Tom Brady, they were just so darn good because, A, Brady was incredibly accurate, student of the game. No one was going to outwork him. And then on top of that, the Bill Belichick's defense were elite. right now what makes Kansas City so hard to beat, first of all, that defense is much better than it was last year. But as far as the Patrick Mahomes thing goes, he just does things on the field that other people can't do. But you have these new crops of quarterbacks coming up, these younger crops, and they're going to want their championships. They're not going to want old man Mahomes to collect all the rings. And so who comes by in the meantime to rattle his cage? Who comes by and says, nah, you're not winning again? It's really if you're pulling against the Chiefs, it's got to start in their division. The Raiders have to be anything but a laughing stock. Justin Herbert now has John Harbaugh. I think he's going to be a problem for the Chiefs. And then who in the world knows what is going on in Denver? Because Sean Payton, I have less and less faith in Sean Payton daily when you read about some of the stuff that has gone on. And just, I don't know. I know he worked wonders with Drew Brees, but Drew Brees, it was a different breed. Drew Brees, like the other greats that have come along, not only was he pinpoint accurate, but he had a drive himself. And remember, they only won one, but that'll be the big key. And then, of course, you look at the rest of the conference. You look at the AFC South. Can Trevor Lawrence get it back going in the right direction? Because he had a terrible year this year. More importantly, I think more dangerously, C.J. Stroud is going to be a problem for everybody in the AFC. What's Will Levis going to be like? What is Anthony Richardson going to be like? We didn't get much of a litmus test for Anthony Richardson, so we'll learn a lot more this year. And then, of course, you're still going to have the Josh Allens. You got to figure he's eventually going to crack into the Super Bowl, right? He can't be a consistent disaster every year. Aaron Rodgers supposedly will be ready to roll. Tua's going to have to make a liar out of me because I just don't think he's got it. I don't think he has the arm strength. But Mike McDaniel could be a problem. McDaniel, if he gets fed up with dealing with Tua, he might go out and get himself a different quarterback. And then, of course, you got the AFC North. Does Lamar Jackson, in the offseason, make a commitment to becoming a quarterback? Or is he going to be okay with constantly just trying to out-athlete you, and then when you hit January, he gets exposed. He gets exposed in January for one reason and one reason only. It's not that he's not a great athlete. It's not that he doesn't have the potential to be an outstanding quarterback. He gets exposed because he's extremely inaccurate with most of his passes. And in January, those defenses are better. And they're locked in. And the ones that have gotten that far are better defenses. You go back to that game against Kansas City. I mentioned this before, but I'm going to hammer it home. I'm watching that game and play after play after play after play with Lamar Jackson. He was inconsistent. No, actually, he was consistent because he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. If he wasn't overthrowing or underthrowing his receivers, he was throwing the ball where the receiver had to stop, wait on the ball, or go back and get the ball. And at that point, the defender's ready to clean his clock. There's too much speed in the secondaries and on the outer edges in the National Football League. And if you're not accurate, you're not going to be successful in January, and you're probably going to get one of your receivers killed. And then who knows what Pittsburgh's going to be. I'm not convinced that they have their quarterback of the future in that current roster. Cleveland, the jury's still out with Deshaun Watson. You put all his creepy stuff aside, I'm just talking about from the football aspect of it, he hasn't been impressive. The best quarterback play that Cleveland has gotten in that town in the last 5 years was about a 5-game window with Joe Flacco. So the only other team that I haven't mentioned in the AFC that's going to be in Mr. Mahomes' way, he was injured this year, and you'd hope he'd come back firing on all cylinders. You got to figure Joe Burrow gets in there. If you're going to tell me that Josh Allen will eventually get a Super Bowl ring, you best believe Joe Burrow's getting one. No way he's not. Let's get into some of the lines here. So right now we're still sitting at 2. All in all, we're right around 2, give or take. -2, San Francisco. Some books have it -1.5. I even saw one this morning, -1. The money line's around 125, Kansas City getting 2. I don't think the line's going to move much in either direction. because I think for very long, I think, in fact, I know, if that line jumps up to 2.5, people are jumping in, they're going to hammer that, and they're going to take the Chiefs. And then the line's going to move down to either 2 or 1.5, and then people are going to jump back on the 49ers. It'll be interesting to see where the money's coming in. We'll have more on that on the Saturday show, but what the public is. So there's a difference between the public bets and what they call the sharp money. And what it means is your average Joe is throwing $50 to $100 on a Super Bowl bet, some a little more, but not crazy. And so they count up the volume of bets, the number of bets that are made on said team. But then they count up the number, the amount of money, and that's what they call the sharp money, because these are the professional gamblers. These are the ones that are going to be betting 6 to 7 digits on Sunday. And some of them, it makes or breaks their year. Now, the really successful ones, the very good ones, the Super Bowl does not make or break their year, because they know that the best handicappers in all the world are in the NFL, and you better believe they're involved in the Super Bowl. And they make their money throughout the season. Not just in the NFL, but college football, Major League Baseball, college basketball, etc. There's a pretty interesting theory that I was listening to this week, and it makes a lot of sense. And what they were saying is, at halftime of the college basketball games, they're leading into the Super Bowl. So in other words, there are games being played on Super Bowl Sunday in college basketball that... I'll go ahead and go to that scoreboard real quick so I can give you a specific. So Sunday, you're going to have, well, there's one top 25 team. That's Florida Atlantic and Wichita State. That's at noon. But I'm more talking about, okay, there's a couple of games. I think the one you would circle would be Minnesota and Iowa. It's a 3:00 tip-off. It's on the Big Ten Network. And what they were saying was, look and see what the line is around halftime. And if you like a lean one way or the other, you might be able to jump on that book and take advantage because of one main reason. And that would be your big-time handicappers have now shifted their attention and they're not paying attention to the Minnesota-Iowa game or Northern Iowa and UIC, which is at 4:00, or Bowling Green, Louisiana, which is at 3:00. You could even talk about the 2:00 tips. You got a few of them, and you've got some noon tip-offs, but those not as much. So like Penn State Northwestern at 1:00, that's not one that I'm referring to. I'm talking more about the 2 and 3:00 tip-offs. Where on the second half of it, they're a little preoccupied because a lot of money comes in on something, and they've got to adjust, and so they can't adjust to what you're doing. And I'm talking about the big books out west. Those are still ran by people. They have algorithms involved in the smaller things, but they're ran by people on the big things. So keep that in mind if you're betting Sunday. Keep something else in mind. If you like the under on some of the more popular player props, wait until that last half hour on Sunday to place your bet. Because, and I'll just give you an example because we were talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce earlier. Travis Kelce is going to be a popular bet. And right now on his player prop, let me double check it real quick. But, okay, on the offshore book that I'm looking at right now, Travis Kelce, his receiving player prop is 6.5. Over under 6.5. There is a very good chance that when you get into that on Sunday, that number is going to go up. So right now, I'll go ahead and double check it on the Hard Rock bet. Right now, for instance, Travis Kelce, his player prop is 6.5 over under on the receptions. But let's say a boat ton of money comes in on Travis Kelce, and all of a sudden, and by the way, his over-under receiving yards is 70. But let's say a boat ton of money comes in on Kelce in the over, the yards in the over, and you just don't think it's going to happen. You think he's going to have a solid game, 4 or 5 catches, but you just don't think he's going to hit. Wait until right before kickoff. There's a very good chance the Kelce's over-under is going to go to 7.5. And that can make the difference on whether or not you hit your bet. Right now, it's 6.5 at a minus 150. What that's telling you is that the book believes that he's going to get to 7, which means they're not far from flipping that number up to 7.5. And on that over 7.5, you may get a better payout to entice you to bet. So in other words, it goes to -6.5 or over 6.5 at a minus 150 payout, but it goes to 7.5 and all of a sudden you're at a minus 105. And the rookie bettor goes, oh, well, man, I'm going to make better money. Yeah, let's do it. But what's happening is your chances of covering have diminished. So that's all I'm saying. If you, and I'm not talking about just Travis Kelce. If you're talking about passing yards for Patrick Mahomes, and you think the under's going to hit, wait until a half hour before kickoff. If you think there's no way CMC is going to get, 4.5 on receptions, and his receiving yards is 34.5, if you're going to take that under, I beg of you, wait until just before kickoff. 34.5 is very gettable for Christian McCaffrey. He's going to have a lot of money coming on him, not just on the over of the receiving, but also the rushing and the rushing and receiving total, and that number is going to climb. If you believe that these guys are going to hit their number, drop it now. Get it now, because that number is only going to go up. Travis Kelce, beginning of the week, his over-under receiving yards was 72.5. It's down to 70.5. That means people are banging the under. They're banging the under, and it's sharp money coming in on that because, okay, first of all, the thing that comes in, goes into your favor, you take the under. What if a guy gets an injury? Even if he doesn't get knocked out of the game, what if it knocks him out of him for a series or two? But then the other thing is the matchup for Kelce in this game is going to be tough. I think he can probably get his number, but I'm staying away from it. I was thinking about doing it just because you thought maybe, well, they always find a way, and Kelce always finds a way to get open, et cetera, et cetera. But it's going to be a tough, tough lean. In 7 receptions, it's an overreaction to what happened in Baltimore when he had 11 receptions in the championship game. But the over-under going to that game was 5.5. So you don't want to overreact to the previous game because the Baltimore defense just lost track of Travis Kelce for whatever reason. I don't think that's going to be the case. Now, as far as if you're wanting to look for something that you want to jump on early, and obviously I say this with a grain of salt because I do like to wait until the final injury reports are out, because you don't want to jump on something that all of a sudden dude comes in questionable, probable. But Isaiah Pacheco, 67.5. I like the over in that. San Francisco has struggled to stop the run. And assuming Pacheco stays healthy all game, Isaiah Pacheco is going to get the carries. I mean, if you're feeling really frisky, he's plus 275 to hit 100 yards. And that's a great payout, but I would say to you, if you're going to do that, why not go ahead and just go ahead, knock him down for the MVP. Because he's plus 3,000 on MVP. If he gets over 100 yards rushing, there's a very good chance Pacheco is the MVP. So we're talking about a big-time situation there where if you say, hey, I think he's going to get over 100 yards, let's go, plus 275. No, take him for the MVP. Put less money on it and just sprinkle someone for the MVP. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. You start talking about, well, is he going to hit over the 260 mark on the passing yards, and it's a minus. If you think that Kansas City is going to win, you think he's going to have a great game, and that's why you're betting that, why wouldn't you just bet Patrick Mahomes the MVP? Brock Purdy, not so much. Brock Purdy, I don't think he's getting enough of a payout. He's plus 190. That's not good. Brock Purdy, I know he's the quarterback, and I get that part of it. But if the 49ers win the Super Bowl, there's a very good chance that he's not the MVP. That it could be Debo. It could be Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's plus 400. If I think the 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl, I'm more likely to put the money on Christian McCaffrey to win the MVP over Brock Purdy. Travis Kelce, by the way, plus 1,100. If you believe in all the kooky duke theories and that everything's rigged and whatnot, you might as well throw some hay on Travis Kelce, plus 1,100 MVP. If you're going to believe in all those tinfoil conspiracy theories, that the NFL is scripted and the NFL is rigged and whatnot. Might as well put your money where your mouth is. Make some money off it. Because if it's rigged, Travis Kelce is the Super Bowl MVP. He proposes to Taylor Swift, and she sings at halftime with Usher. Go make your money. Because Kansas City winning the Super Bowl doesn't prove that it's rigged. Kansas City winning the Super Bowl has already happened two times in the last 4 years. The best quarterback and arguably the best coach of the NFL winning the Super Bowl. We've seen that before. That's not anything new. But a tight end winning a Super Bowl, well, maybe I'm willing to buy a little bit of what you're selling. That Pacheco Super Bowl MVP, though, I mean, that is very, very enticing. I mean, even if you put $10 on it, you're going to get $300. Debo Samuel would be another one. Problem is, they go through stints where they use him more of a decoy. And you can make the argument that, okay, first of all, he's obviously not the best running back on his team. And he's not the best receiver on his team. Brandon Ayuk is. Now, what makes him so dangerous is that you can use him in so many different ways. But he's not the best at his position. It's not a Shohei Ohtani situation where, man, this guy's the best batter and the best pitcher on his team, obviously before the injury. Debo Samuel is very good, but he's the second best at those positions. But it's an interesting, I mean, you're talking about plus 2,000. I'd probably be more willing to take a swing for him than I would Travis Kelce at plus 1,100, only because if Kelce catches like a couple of touchdowns, what did Patrick Mahomes do? Did he throw 4 or 5? If he only throws 2 touchdowns and barely gets 200 yards passing and Kelce has half the yards and has both the touchdowns, then yeah, you got to give it to Kelce. But Debo could get there a number of different ways, so that's why he's a little enticing. If you want to take long, long, long shots, looking on the defensive side, Chris Jones and Nick Bosa, 10,000 and 7,500 respectively. Chase Young, 20,000. Just don't save your money. Chase Young has shown that he's been making business decisions. He does not want to stop the run. So he's going to get plowed and ran over a few times. That's not going to be your Super Bowl MVP. We'll get into more of these on tomorrow's show. But next up, I'm putting my hat in the ring for a very important position, a job opening. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio. Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show, and the phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024. Look, there's a big, big job opening shifting gears in these United States, and I've decided to put my hat in the ring. 2024 presidential election. I'm going to run for it, baby. Let's go. Now, you're going to have to write me in because I'm not going to go through all the stuff that you have to go to get your name on the ballots. So, do we think we're going to win? Probably not. Probably not. I'm not going to be delusional like Nikki Haley or, you know, any of the others that you're like, come on, what are you doing? You're just wasting everybody's time. We know it's going to come down to Biden versus Trump. But for all the people who are appalled by the direction in which this country has gone in the last few years and the stumbling and the mumbling and the bumbling, every time you see a press conference, I mean, it is an absolute disaster. But I know there's a lot of folks out there who don't like the other side. They don't like Trump. And so you might be sitting there going, who the hell am I going to vote for? Well, I'm going to tell you what my platform is. of what I'm running on this year. And I think I'll get some people on my side. If we get just 1% of the vote, I will look at it as a win. All right. First and foremost, now we're going to have some serious topics because there are some things that you're like, my God, what is going on? You know, the number one with the bullet, and look, everybody wants to talk about gun control. Everybody wants to talk about the wall. They want to talk about Border Patrol, and rightfully so. They want to get rid of the no cash bail, which has been a disaster. I get that. They want to get, have you seen this thing with the prepaid credit cards for the illegal immigrants in New York that has been up to what, $53 million? Meanwhile, they cut the veterans' money that they're giving in the state of New York by $6 million, and they're going to make half of what the illegal immigrants are going to get on their credit cards. $53 million towards the credit cards in New York and $24.5 for veterans of the United States military. That's absurd. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to get rid of that stupid credit card. You don't break into the country illegally, then we give you a bunch of money. We're taking that money, we're giving it to the veterans. That is an absolute no-brainer. Anybody who does not believe that we should be doing that, I have to question whether or not you should even have the right to vote. And one, but the number one serious topic, and then we're going to get into having some fun. You know what we get into, what has caused most of the problems that we've had on both sides of the aisle? Right, left, moderate, whatever. Man, they've got to have term limits. There is no reason for people to be in Congress for 40, 50 years. And I've said this before. I don't know if I've ever said it on air, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you how I think. If you had term limits for everybody, meaning whether you're talking about the House, the Senate, I know you've got the term limits on the presidency, but the point is, people running for president would be much younger and you wouldn't have some of these just debacles that you're having with the interviews right now with the president who can't even put, I mean, like the other day when they were dragging him because he was talking about a conversation that he just had a few years ago with the leader of France, and who the guy that he was referring to has been dead for 30 years. You don't have those issues if he wasn't in the Senate for 50 years prior to becoming the vice president under Obama and then later on becoming the president. But this isn't just geared at him. It's all of the people up there that can barely walk, can barely talk, can barely put a sentence together. So term limits is the number one thing that I'm like, you know what? I don't care if you're on the right side of the aisle, the left side of the aisle, if you're a moderate. Get things done. I say 12 years, but I would even give you 20. And then get the hell out of there. Because if you had to make decisions that would later impact you as you went back to work in the private sector, you would have a different agenda. So there's that. All right. Now for the fun stuff. 2024 platform. The first thing, and I think this is, gets me in a landslide vote. This is what gets me in. The Monday after the Super Bowl becomes a federal holiday. Everything is closed. Everything. And if you are a restaurant or a retail store that decides to be open, you cannot open until after 12 p.m. local time. Gives everybody a chance to sleep it off. You can't have what is essentially a national holiday on a Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody hooping and hollering and raising hell, much like we do on New Year's Eve. And even the ones that aren't partaking in drinks. We're talking about people who go out and eat way too much. Whenever you're sluggish, you feel like junk the next day. You don't need to be at the workforce. You're not getting anything accomplished. So that becomes the number one thing. That's going to be the first thing I sign into the bill. The first bill I sign when I walk into office after being sworn in. Super Bowl Sunday is a federal holiday. This for you baseball fans. We are reversing the stupid designated hitter rule. We're not just taking it out of the American League. We're getting it out of Major League Baseball. But I'm going to meet you halfway, DH fans. I'm not closed-minded to the DH. Here's the caveat. They've experimented with this in a couple of different minor league systems. But the designated hitter rule that we're going to go to is your designated hitter is out of the game when your starting pitcher has to leave. And I don't care if your starting pitcher leaves via injury. I don't care if it's because they were an opener and you weren't planning on starting them. He leaves the game, period. To even things out, we're going to add an extra player onto the roster. That way, Major League Baseball Player Association is happy with the fact we now have a 27-man roster. And that extra hitter or extra roster position will be a hitter. So that it will entice more managers or more general managers, I should say, of signing batters and extending careers. But let's get back to what made baseball great. I know there's a lot of folks out there that are on one side of the aisle or the other, but we're going to make baseball great again. Okay? That's what we're doing here. We're going to make sports great again. So you're off the day after the Super Bowl. The designated hitter rule is gone, so we've saved baseball. What is the next thing that I'm going to put onto the platform? I haven't decided what the name of our party is going to be. We'll come up with something catchy. Don't worry. We're going to revisit this throughout the year. This isn't just a one and done. We're not going to be like Governor Christie, where we say we're running and then you don't see us again after. What was the deal? He just stuck around just long enough to hang in there for Thanksgiving meal, and then he took off? No, we're here for the long haul. The next thing that I think would save sports in general, no more local blackouts. The blackout restrictions will be lifted. That is for the National Football League. That is for Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL for that matter, and anything else. We will not have blackout restrictions. So, for instance, if you own or if you purchase the MLB.TV package, and you live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and you go to your game, you would see the game and it wouldn't tell you blackout restrictions apply. You can't buy the MLB ticket. You have to go and buy the streaming app, or you have to either you have to go a la carte in some areas. In some areas, you have to go out and get either your local cable or, you know, your YouTube TV, Sling TV, you know, whatever. Why? Why am I being punished living in my area? And don't tell me it's because you want to make sure the people go to games. That's not my concern. Same thing with the NFL. That doesn't happen a lot anymore, but if the NFL game does not sell out, you're not blacking it out in my area. You're not forcing me to go to the ball game the football stadium to watch a terrible product, fix your team and maybe I'll come. So we get rid of all of the blackout restrictions. Another thing, as long as we're talking about streaming, we're getting rid of the a la carte app commercials. What I mean by this, have you seen this recently? You go into Prime Video and now they tell you, well, if you pay $3 or $4 more a month, you won't get commercials. But if you don't give us your extra money, we're going to gut you. We're going to keep jabbing at you. Why am I paying $6, $7, $8, $12? I think Netflix is up to $17 or $18 a month. Why am I paying, and then you're also going to hit me with commercials? Figure it out. The whole point of paying for those a la carte apps is to go in and enjoy something without a damn commercial. If I want to watch the ones with the commercials, I'll just watch it on YouTube TV or Sling TV or one of the others and catch it on TBS and I'll sit through the commercials at Friends. Why am I going to get Friends or Big Bang Theory on one of the apps and now you're going to hit me with commercials again? What the hell is that? Unbelievable. I can't believe that's even a thing. They're double dipping the chip. Back on a serious note, here's another thing that we're going to add on the serious side of things. Monthly debates. Monthly debates. They won't always be the president versus, we'll say, the speaker, whoever the other party wants to send your way. You could do vice presidential debate. But you're going to have someone who is in your administration and they're going to debate someone on the other side of the aisle. Now, in my case, when I get in there, we're going to be debating three ways because, you know, I'll fight you all. But that way everyone tunes in once a month, knows what the big issues are, and it keeps everybody in line. And you don't just react and do certain things and try to get certain bills passed because it's an election year. You're always on the country's radar. So once again, those will be monthly debate. All right, and on to the next topic. Let's get back to some of the fun stuff. We're going to fix college football. We're going to stick Notre Dame in the Big Ten. Well, how are you going to even that out? We're taking Northwestern, throwing them in the ACC. They're not serious about football, but they're a good academic school. Let them go play basketball and other sports. Nothing wrong with that. But Notre Dame is going to quit hiding in independent land, and they're going to go take on their regional rivals. They're going to play Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State. Every single year, we're going to have some fun with college football again. If you start asking me about college basketball and the other sports, I don't give a crap. We'll figure those out down the road. We're fixing college football. So Northwestern heads to the ACC. Notre Dame goes into the Big Ten. We're taking Vanderbilt, and they're going to the ACC. They're not serious about football, but they've got a good baseball program. They can have solid basketball programs. And regionally, it makes a lot of sense. They'll be right down the road from Georgia Tech. Let's go. Well, you're going to have odd numbers in the SEC. No, we're not. We're taking three teams out of the Atlantic Coast Conference and putting them in the Southeastern Conference and quit this mindless political crap in college football, where you got the SEC claiming that Florida State, Clemson, or North Carolina are too scared to be in the SEC, which has been total BS. You can stop all the nonsense with the ESPN talking heads making up ridiculous angles on why things should be certain ways, but yet they're okay with. They don't like the fact that Florida State's trying to leave the ACC. And by the way, Clemson and North Carolina are sitting there quiet as a church mouse, letting Florida State take all the haymakers and fight their way through this bar fight to get them out. And then as soon as they get them out, they're going to come scurrying out the back door. You can bet that. So ESPN wants to kill Florida State for that, but they don't have a problem with Southern Cal, UCLA heading to the Big Ten. It was only a problem when Washington and Oregon followed suit the following year, because now it's just getting ridiculous, guys. It's not fair to ask a school who's trying to compete on the highest level to sit and take less money year after year after year because it fits your agenda. So Florida State, Clemson Tigers, North Carolina Tar Heels, the Seminoles, the Tigers, and the Tar Heels, they're heading to the Southeastern Conference. I get it. It's more likely that Florida State's heading to the Big Ten because of all the political BS that's going on between ESPN and Alabama and Florida trying to block Florida State. I get all that. But for the good of college football and for the fans who want to go to the games, North Carolina, Clemson, and Florida State go to the SEC. Notre Dame goes to the Big Ten. We're probably going to take a couple other teams and throw them in from the Big Ten, but that essentially would fix it. And then you got the two-team power conference. They're the King Dinglings at that point. And you would take the Big 12 and the ACC, and you would combine those two conferences, make them one more mega conference, and there's no longer a Power 5 that's just a Big 3. And there you have that. So we fixed college sports. On my way to that, the NIL's got to get fixed. We'll give the ideas of what we have long-term down the road, but as of right now, all you need to know is there's going to be rules. It's not going to be the wild, wild west out there. And we're getting rid of the stupidity of anybody can transfer at any single time. It is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If we go back to the streaming part of the platform, why should I have to buy YouTube TV or before DirecTV or any other cable provider to be able to buy the NFL package? I don't have to have it with the NBA package. I don't have to have it with MLB TV or the NHL. Why do I have to do that? It's because they want the money that they have to pay to get the NFL rights. They want the money that you're going to, the extra money you're going to have to pay just to have the NFL package, and that extra $100 a month you're throwing out there that's paying for junk like ESPN that you may not be watching, or Bravo, or the Lifetime Network, or whatever the hell's on there. Any news channel that you don't like. If we're going to go a la carte, by God, let's go a la carte. You're going to give me the ability to buy the NFL package without buying all that other crap. The other thing that we're going to do, number one with the bullet, is we are going to save women's sports. Nothing against the trans community whatsoever. You do you. But men should not be competing against women in sports. It's not fair, and the majority of America, including the trans community, knows that it's a scam. It's a guy who wasn't good enough to win at the sport that he is now identifying across the board so that he can go. They are allowing men or trans to box women in the upcoming Olympics. Are you being serious right now? You're legalizing punching a woman. What in the wide world of buffoonery is this? We're saving women's sports. And because we're going to go to a la carte, I know there's a lot of women and there's also a lot of just like non-sports fans, because there are a lot of female sports fans, a lot of them. But there are a lot of non-sports fans that say they don't want to have to pay for ESPN and FS1. That's one of the reasons why this whole thing's collapsing. Because ESPN's gotten to the point. So if you're paying $70, $80 for your streaming, about 10 of it, 11 of it is going to ESPN. And that money's turned around and being chucked at stupid things that nobody's watching, like regular season NBA or First Take. So if you don't want to pay for that, and rightfully so, you shouldn't have to if you're not watching it, then I don't want to have, if I want to watch ESPN or if I want to watch FS1 or I want to watch, what are some of the others, NBA TV, the NFL Network, I should be able to watch that without paying for Hallmark, Lifetime, or whatever cable news channel that I don't agree with their philosophies. And that's on both sides. Whether you're right or left, why should a left-leaning Democrat have to pay for Fox News Channel just because they want to watch ESPN? Why should a Republican want to watch, have to pay for CNN or MSNBC? So now, we get rid of all of it. And the other thing on the streaming situation is this. Gosh dog it, YouTube TV and all the rest of you. If I'm going through the guide and it says Florida versus LSU basketball, quit trying to trick me. Click over there. I find out that it's a women's college basketball game. Then I got to go get back out of that because I'm not watching that junk. You don't do that in any other sport. I don't go on and look for Major League Baseball and it says Atlanta versus New York and I flip over there and all of a sudden there's a softball game breaking out. If I want to watch women's basketball, I will look for it. If I want to watch men's basketball, I will look for it. But they used to put WCBB or MCBB, meaning men's or women's. So quit trying to trick us. They try to do it with the WNBA, but it doesn't work. Because there's cities in the WNBA. You're like, what the hell is that? You're like, no. Bozo alert. And last but not least, goodbye Thursday night football in the NFL. We don't need it. I don't need Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night football. They are bad games. They are bad games typically because they're playing on short weeks. We don't need it. It's junk. If you're insisting to have that third night of football, you either are going to have to play on Tuesday or you are going to have to play on Friday. But no more of this play on Sunday, play on Thursday. The game's garbage. And we got to sit through Kirk Herbstreit, fumble around. He can't even carry a tune comparatively to all the other NFL analysts in the booth. And you know it's true because Al Michaels is frustrated as hell sitting next to him. Whole time he's thinking, like, shouldn't you be at like a Rutgers Ole Miss game? What are you doing here? You never saw Dick Vitale bust into the NBA Finals. Kirk Herbstreit's a disaster. He's getting worse. So what we're going to do is we're going to give them the option. You can either have Tuesday night football, which, by the way, they've gotten good ratings on that before. That's the one I'd be in favor of. But if not, we'll give you Friday night football. And Thursday night football will go back to a college football night. And we will rotate it. We will have an SEC game. We will have Big Ten games. We will rotate them. And bring back to what Thursday nights used to be, which used to be pretty good college football matchups. We had some great ones in the 90s and mid-2000s. And then the NFL started their crap, and it's all gone to hell in a handbasket. And we end up with South Florida versus West Texas State, the first part of a doubleheader that will end with Pacific versus San Jose State. We're done with it. NFL, get the hell out of the way. This is not your time. You play on Sundays, you play on Mondays, and you play on Tuesday night. And if you don't want to play on Tuesday night, you can grab Friday night. But if you play on that Tuesday or that Monday night, you're not turning around and playing Friday night. There's going to be a bare minimum of 5 days in between kickoffs because the games suck. And as far as why is college football okay, because they play on Saturday. And it really is an equivalent to, and plus college football always does a very good job of when they play on that Thursday night back in the day. Usually the Saturday before, they were either off or they played a cupcake. And then you get the advantage, you play on that Thursday, and then you get 9 days for your next game. All right, we're going to jam out of here. We've got our slogan for now. McGee 2024, you could do a hell of a lot worse. Write-ins only, because we're not going to do all the legwork to get on ballots, because we really don't have that kind of funding. Oh, one last thing. If we're going to build a wall to keep people coming in from Mexico, we're going to do it with Canada, too, before the National Hockey League spreads like wildfire. Ah, we'll see ya. Have a great day.